Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggly.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dallas, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Yeah, straight God, nigga. Come on, Nick, you know we do with these shit right here, man. Yeah. Said the pack came in.
What that mean?
Only thing I need is a stove. I got some niggas on my line. Say they need a few O's. I said respectfully, Playboy, I don't sell O's. I have bought some mellow jersey before he went to the pros.
So what that mean?
That mean I need 30 bands for the hole. And like when mama seen the mouse, it's gonna jump on the stove. I told my fiend, I'm back cooking. I need every pan back. You shop with God and cook the work. You getting every gram back. Shop with me, you ain't gonna lose a crumb. Nigga steal from me, he ain't gonna scroll again.
Why?
Cause he gonna lose a thumb. I took a half and I made it whole. Put it in the press, got dressed, made a call, and I had it sold. I told my driver, time to hit the road. My man from Canada coming, he came cross, but meet him at the toe. I get more loads than a wash and fold. When I say, meet me at the laundromat, nigga, we ain't washing clothes. God, sit back, youngin', and learn something. Put this tape on repeat, go out and earn something. Put that fire on low, so you don't burn nothing. Jesus is the second, and great God is the third coming. Great. Sit back, youngin', and learn something. Put this tape on repeat, go out and earn something. Put that fire on low, so you don't burn nothing. Jesus is the second, and great God is the third coming.
I said I spit this for the have-nots. I remember when I ain't had... Wait, I can't say that, my nigga. I always had not. This for niggas that got a stash box that makes a lot as soon as they make it home safe to the stash spot. I turn have-nots to bricklayers. If she listen and stay loyal in 6 months, then she can quit trading. If nothing else, I'ma get paper. Tell that nigga he late paying again, his fate gon' get tapered. I turned the trap into a skyscraper. Then the skyscraper ended up being a trap just to hide paper. I done served more people than Rod Laver. I moved in last year and it's been 6 months since I see my neighbors. All they see is women and cars. I know they hating, so I never park inside the garage. They wanna know how he gets to live on our block. I moved in and turned the cul-de-sac into a car lot. God, sit back, youngin', and learn something. Put this tape on repeat, go out and earn something. Put that fire on low, so you don't burn nothing. Jesus is the second, and great God is the third coming. Sit back, youngin', and learn something. Put this tape on repeat, go out and earn something. Put that fire on low, so you don't burn nothing. Jesus is the second, and great God is the third coming. Yeah, true shit. Ask somebody. Easy when you just recollecting. something to y'all for a second. Look, on my birthday, I bought my son a watch for Father's Day. He never even called to say, I love you, Pop. And people wonder why I don't never talk much. I got too much hate and anger inside me. I gotta chalk up. I'm the type that I feel away, I'ma talk up. Don't throw me no pity party, nigga. I ain't no lost pup. I don't get the beat soft, nigga. I got to be tough. I don't wanna win by myself. They got to be us. But everybody don't understand until I go back and forth across their face with an open hand. Jealousy and hate, I make a nigga divert the plan. Don't come back to the block by yourself if you left with your man. Those are the rules, I wouldn't dare break them. If he never been on the drugs, I wouldn't dare take him. If he tell me I don't wanna go, I wouldn't dare make him. Cause once he get in the precinct, I know for sure they'll break him. My brain frying right now, it feel like steak him. It's niggas that wanna go with me, but I can't take him. I love him, but I gotta tell him, assalamu alaikum. They dead leaves just laying in the yard, I gotta rake him.
My daughter didn't invite me to her sweet 16. Even though I paid for the sweet 16. No drug paper, feature money, 316. She don't know the type of stress and anger this thing brings. Baby mother be having goofies around my daughter. She don't know that I go loony for my daughter. Damn, my life was easy when I sold a ton of salt. Now that I'm a rapper, man, shit, I gotta brush it off. Eh, niggas used to always call my phone to fuck the hoes. Niggas used to always call my phone to go to shows. Then my father died, that really put me on my toes. Then I lost my mother, I couldn't find a motherfucker. Let's rewind this motherfucker. I never needed you, I was always shining, motherfucker. The cars, the clothes, and big diamonds, motherfucker. By the grace of God, I survived hard times, motherfucker. Yeah.
In a place where you run from the cops. If it's sweet and you was getting sunned on the block. Now I'm out in Vegas where the sun is too hot. Vito hit me with the 30 round drum for the Glock. My hustle game strong, the flow game meaner. Been hot since I was floating in that cocaine Beamer. Graduated to that Maserati 4-seater. The streets don't love you and the hoes don't either. Respect gets earned, loyalty's demonstrated. You lose either one and the whole thing's jaded. Can't respect a man that don't ride for his family. Repeating old moves, the definition of insanity. Put my work in, I was a menace to humanity. Then I bossed up, had to find the inner man in me. Pops wasn't there, had to learn it on my own. Finally got the picture, now I'm kinging on my throne. First you get the money, then the power. Tony always said this world was ours.
Now that's a false move.
Yeah, I came from the bottom of the concrete. Now I'm up top where all the stars
are. Now that's a false move.
Write my name in cursive on the check. 100 grams sitting on my neck.
Yeah, that's a false move.
Invest in real estate, the stock go up. When I came home, the block
straight.
Meet me at the stove, it's a cook-off. I told the plug to bring me 5 birds and took off. It look like it's some cut on these joints. I hope it cook right. You know sometimes the work be heavy, but it just look like. Soon as I'm done cooking, I bag up the overs. And everything over at 62 get passed to the soldiers. Look, they can't tell me nothing. It's worth fuego. For these birds, I need 50, my nigga, like Tony Ayo. And I'm eyeing all the work. I don't need no scale. If the D's kick down the door, ain't gonna be no bail. I get them sent to a house that don't get no mail. The landlord on my payroll, so he not gonna tell shit. Then I go and take my neighbor an 8. So every time she cooks, she take my little worker a plate. That means he ain't gotta steal from me, and I ain't gotta burn the bags. Loyalty and patience turn this minivan into a Jag. Gone.
First you get the money, then the power. Tony always said this world was ours.
Now that's a false move.
Yeah, I came from the bottom of the concrete. Now I'm up top where all the stars
are. Now that's a false move.
Write my name in cursive on the check. 100 grams sitting on my neck.
Yeah, that's a false move.
Invest in real estate, the stock go up. When I came home, the block show up.
LA. Chasing down two more rings. I put the wave in my town like Katrina did New Orleans. Presidential shit, you see it glistening through my sleeve. The streets wanna know when a rat died, do I grieve? No, religious, but still strapped. Lessons hitting in real facts. In South Buff, me and Ty shot a vid in the real
track.
But that was 10 years ago, fast forward and I'm still that. I learned the hard way, cause bridges I burnt, I built back. Interior decorated my closet, I built sacks. Niggas spending six figures on features and still whack. Me, I used to have an 80 gram till I killed that. I'm about to jump in the film industry and then milk that. Road to the riches, ain't no exposing the realest, just means my everyday routine is goals for you niggas. I just got some art of praise, I'm getting bold on you niggas. We buy six for fireplaces when they get cold to you niggas, let's go.
First you get the money, then the power. Tony always said this world was ours.
Now that's a boss move.
Yeah, I came from the bottom of the concrete, now I'm up top where all the stars
are. That's a boss move.
Write my name and cursive on the check. 100 grams sitting on my neck.
Yeah, that's a boss move.
Invest in real estate, the stock go up. When I came home, the block show up.
That's how a boss move.
Crucify me on a cross through the palm of the nail. I'm popping a shell, the shot is the size of a whale. It got a body on it, but I still got it to sell. My man did 23 hours inside of the cell. I got the Bentley waiting on him, walking outside of the jail. That's just how I'm on it. Not approachable, not controllable. The price for the product is non-negotiable. There I was, not a sociable. Yeah, it's love, but I'm not emotional. I understand you're only a fan, but I'm not approachable.
Chill out.
Cocaine and the food in the same pantry. Keep the brown and white in the same room like Drake's family. Ain't no walls cause it ain't fancy. My heart is solid gold like a melter that make a Grammy. Michelle Lanny, dope gang niggas just made a family. 1,000 grams of sugar, it look like I'm baking candy.
Everything valid.
We make everything valid.
I don't give a fuck, I did what y'all niggas be trying. Got money, fuck bitches, I done stayed with the iron. But way smarter, these low niggas always be dying. Go on the gram and zoom in, why the fuck is he crying? Who raised y'all niggas? What part of the game is this? It's probably fine, that's real, but I can't make an honest list. I mean, me, P, and Kiss been hot since doo-wop tapes and Clue. Since we got it here, our attitude was, who the fuck are you? Now I'm full grown, my career's full blown. And all my platinum plaques on the wall is full shown. I move money around on my computer, but I still keep some cash for a shooter. I seen your bitch, she could be a little bit cuter. I'm out in Fiji, pissy drunk on a scooter. Cajun salmon with a little Caesar salad. Gun on my lap, ready to shoot, bitch. Everything valid.
Off. I resurrected to spit these sins and bars and repent to God. Every verse I scripted was sent to Mars to prevent the stars from falling to the earth. Hell's fire leave you bent and charred. You shouldn't mention ours. We box up niggas. We wasn't meant to spar, but every right hand will probably dent a car. This nigga acting like he Escobar, reading off all the crimes that he's done, but was never really arrested for. Little nigga, bless your heart. Cute story. Ooh, sorry. Damage and pride, you gon' slide. This what you do, shorty. Stand toe to toe on this fucking lane like you knew Tory. Kill your ass in front of your fans and make them root for me. I conjure spirits when this boot call me. Everything I love is what the truth cost me. Man, this shit is too costly. Could never live my life average. I'll always be a savage. And everything valid.
Everything valid. Everything valid.
This is what we do it off the Club Radio, man. We play nothing but that hardcore, man.
and we are now tuned in to episode 562. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. And once again, the brief introduction. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio, the livest hip-hop show on the web. And this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cotton Picker, Screwball Radio. And we got Key Mask with the Facts on the line. What's good, man?
Man, what it do, y'all? It's another fresh, fantastic, and fly Friday on that frequency of OTC Radio. Shout-out to our co-host of Spiro Live, Sandman Layton. Shout-out, of course, to the Basement Radio. Shout-out to DJ Sincere. And we are live and direct, man. And King, you know, we are definitely anointed with the third coming of one of the most awesome lyricists out there to give us them holy heat rocks of Bill Rhymes. Tell everybody about our guest, man.
Yes, sir, man. Tonight's guest, probably one of the best up-and-coming artists out there, very creative, willing to push the envelope with his unique storytelling, hard-hitting bars, and a part of the new vanguard that's pushing this hardcore hip-hop into new full swing for this decade, man. So without further ado, let's welcome Great God of Off the Cuff Radio. What's good, bro?
Jip.
Peace, y'all. Peace, peace. What's good?
Man, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, everything, some of everything. you know, putting this music together, man, finally getting the looks that I've been, you know, that's needed to push forward. So, you know, everything is good. How y'all doing?
We good, man. Look, God Almighty with the awesomeness, man. Look, King told me about you, man. I wasn't hip to it until I heard some of the heat rocks that you were spitting, man. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, okay, we got another winner here, man. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, let's get it.
I was telling bro, I'm like, man, look, we have our ears to the street and we have our ears to the pavement. And how I found your music was sometimes just, you know, you just scrolling. Like, you know, you're scrolling your Instagram feed. And I said, I'm like, who this cat rapping with the mask on? You know what I mean? Because, you know, first of all, that was the standout. But then we heard what you were spitting. I was like, hold up, man. This brother here, he's a part of the new vanguard that's going on, man. We got to check more of him.
Yeah, man. You know, I get in there, son, and I put them rhymes together. And, you know, like I say, man, I be giving y'all a piece of my heart, man. Not only the history, but a piece of my heart, bro. Like, I be meaning every bar. You know what I'm saying? That's why I be bar for bar like that, too, because I be, you know, it ain't really too much fluff going on in this great God, in this world of great gods, man. So, you know, it tends to hit a little different when they hear it, you know?
Authenticity.
Absolutely.
Authenticity is the aim, and you definitely, you know, it's, look, you're not taking target practice at these lanes out here. You're making direct hits on them with the red dot, you know, making them, like, you know, you know, like Benny was saying, which we're going to get into about how you got that feature, like Benny said, you know, if you got, you know, if you broke this paper, going to offend you, you know, look at this red dot to turn a hater into a Hindu. I'm like...
Right.
Yeah. So tell everybody, you know, how you got started in this, and just, you know, the progressions. We got, you know, we got time in this session, man. So, I mean, let it go.
Okay.
Like, you know, the Glock with no safety or full auto.
Yeah.
Brand, you know, give it to them.
Yeah. Indeed. So, you know, the journey started some time ago. And then I had to reemerge a couple of years ago because I got bored. You feel me? I was just waiting for people to really start paying attention to lyrics again. You know, so
right.
You know, but as far as rapping and just putting words together and rapping, I've been doing that for a decade. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
really, like saying, oh, nah, oh, okay, oh, they want to hear lyrics again? Okay, this is all I've been waiting for, because everything come around back 360 degrees, so I knew that it was going to make its way back around the sun, but, you know, and then, you know, just, you know, thank God that I was still healthy, still looking great, and still, you know, my pen was still sharp, and now it's over, man. Now I'm getting ready to really, really show y'all what great God got for the, you know, for the masses and for the world, man. And you know, like, it ain't for everybody, you know. It's in a quiet sound, but for those that love authenticity and those that love that genre of rap, that real rap, that no cap rap, that's what I'm bringing to the table.
Absolutely. So what part of NY you represent?
So in New York, so originally I was born in the Midwest, but I moved to Brooklyn, to Brownsville. So yeah, but right now I've been living in Syracuse, New York, upstate New York for the last 20 years. So So you know,
King was saying on the bio you were originally born in Milwaukee, I believe.
Yep, I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yep.
And that was where I believe that's where Latrell Sprewell was originally born too, as well.
Yep. Sprewell's from there too. Yep.
And people don't be knowing about Milwaukee. Like, Milwaukee's, you know, is more in terms of Wisconsin and the state more than the Packers, you know, and the Badgers. You know, that's where the players ball is held, you know, every year.
Oh yeah.
And it gets serious out there. I believe Cuckoo Cal, you know, with the song My Project, I believe he's from Milwaukee as well too.
Yeah, man. I got a couple cousins, Kevin Honey and them, you know, the Honey Boys. Their father owned the biggest strip club in the Midwest. All that players ball, like, you know, that all was, you know, that's all part of the family, man. We heavy in that Midwest, man. Yeah.
I mean, so what was it like, you know?
That's slept on market. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't slept on market, too, for real.
It's funny because they sleep on the Midwest not knowing that if you get the Midwest, you don't need nothing else. Like, getting the East Coast and the West Coast, okay, but when you get that Midwest, that's when your life changes. Mm. You get, if you lock Cleveland down, even Cleveland by itself, but that Midwest, that Chicago, Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? Milwaukee, all of that, man. You get the Midwest, you can write yourself a good ticket.
Yeah. When you're talking about it, God, you know what I'm saying, shout out to the late great Mac Dre. You know, Dre had a hell of a following in the Midwest. You know, Kansas City, Chicago, you know,
St. Louis,
all over, man. St. Louis.
Yeah.
E-40 has a heavy following in the Midwest. You know, Tech N9ne, of course. Shout out to Strange Music.
Of course.
You know, they got to
right.
be. You know, they're matter of fact, they're based in Kansas City. You know.
Right. And you see what he's doing. You see the success he had, and it's still happening.
Independently of that.
Right. Yeah.
When you talk about lyrics, God, and as you said, the renaissance of, you know, life on the lines, you know. Tell us about the journey, because when you said you went underground for a minute and then reemerged, I was thinking instantly of MF Doom, rest in peace, Daniel DeMille. From the KMD, you know, causing much damage.
Uh-huh.
Rest in peace to him, his brother Sub Rock. And when he reemerged as MF Doom, you know, from KMD, you know, he was like, you know, as Dev Love X, he had talked about how the music industry had kind of scarred him from the things he had went through, and that's why he came with Alter Ego and totally reinvented himself as this other rapper. When you were looking back at the time before you reemerged, what were you seeing in the game in terms of where hip-hop was at that particular time of what was being pushed? And how did you feel about it?
So at that time when I said, you know what, let me take a step back, mm-hmm. I found myself doing things and trying things that was out of my realm because I felt like that's what was going to sell the records. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like that's what I, you know, okay, damn, this what they're looking for. And it just wasn't me. It was just a lot of, you know, I won't say it was just a lot of bubblegum rap that just was, you know, it got to a point in the game where the beat was more important. And I've always been a lyricist, so for me, it's lyrics first. You know, it's what am I saying on this record? It's let me give you a record where the hook matched the beat, and you understand the lyrics match the hook, and the hook match the lyrics. And you know, for a long time and a great period of time in in rap, it became to the point where it was just like, okay, is the beat dope? Can we move to it? Can the girl shake to it? And I said, nah, I ain't going to do that because I just wait. You know what I mean? I'm going to just be patient. One thing I learned early was patience, man. And, you know, I'm glad I acquired the skill to be patient and say, you know, I'm going to wait this out. I'm going to wait till they really, really want to hear this fire again. Can you cuss on this radio?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. We off the cuff.
Okay, yeah.
No, but, oh, this is unfiltered. Yeah. This is unfiltered. Nah, say what you feel.
Okay, yeah, nah, I'm just so, yeah. You know, it just was a lot of popcorn, a lot of microwave shit going on. So it was like, nah, I don't want that to be my legacy. You understand? And I could do those records. That'd be the crazy part. It's like, I remember I used to say a long time ago, man, I wish I was from Atlanta because I could do, I mess around and do an album in a day. You understand? And not to take away nothing from the Southern rappers, I just say that to say that, you know, the life that I lived and the things that they were spitting about at that time, it would have took me no brain power. I would have just clearly been recollecting, and it would have been easy for me to get my shit off. You understand? But,
right,
you know, through patience, I just said, you know what, man? I'm going to just wait this out because it's going to come back around, and I'm going to give them hell when it come back around.
No, go ahead. Yeah, you said you was about to drop, you dropped the heat like Hades on him, man. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, word. I've been waiting for this moment for so long. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people, even when I picked up my camera and started doing movies, I still was rapping. I still was doing three records a day. Like, I'm a three record a day kind of guy. I did at least two records before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Trust me, I get up at the God hour, 7 in the morning,
might be
5 in the morning sometime, and I mess around and do 2-3 records before noon. So when I say that I was prepared for my moment, like I'm really ready for this moment. I've been waiting for this opportunity. So I got hard drives and hard drives full of music. So it's not going to stop no time soon.
I think what's also happening too is when you see the Renaissance coming in, like you see that new wave of New York City, because it seemed like for a while the East Coast had an identity crisis and they were just following trends.
Right.
But I got to shout this man out for really being one of the pioneers of, you know, bringing that sound back. I got to shout out Rock Marciano because he came through with a style and patterned that new wave for guys. You know what I mean?
No, of course. That's my God, brother, man. Of course, you know, whenever I speak of Rock, I speak about him highly because he stayed to the course, man. And he, you know, he may not have been the first one to do that style, but he did it and stuck with it. You understand? So definitely big shout. So I just spoke to Rock earlier today. I was trying to, you know, I'm putting my new EP together right now. The self-entitled Grape God EP, and he did a few, you know, we got mad joints right now. So I was trying to get the clearance to put a joint that we did together on the joint. And of course he like, yeah, nah, God, go ahead, do what you do. So yeah, but Rock Marcy is special in a lot of different ways, man. Like he's special in multi different ways for me personally. You know what I'm saying?
Great,
you know, Rock Marcy is the reason that you get that the world is getting this Great God music. You know, like he really was throwing me alley oops when he didn't even know me. So forever he will be in my good graces. Like with that relationship can only get stronger and stronger.
Man, it's wild to think about it with Rock too, with him starting with Flip Mode with Busta. You know, for a lot of people
right.
that may not know that, you know, but ultimately, I even have the XXL from some years back when they profiled him, you know,
mm-hmm.
as part of Flip Mode before he ended up going. I mean, so this is another situation where you look at an artist that, you know, decided to, you know, in a sense, you know, take his career into his own hands and look where he's been at. And of course,
yeah, and a lot of people excelled another lane. They opened up another lane because he brought the drumless beats to the equation. That he ain't bringing to the equation. He more so popularized it, like for a new generation.
He popularized it. He definitely made it Yeah, you made it a thing again. Yeah.
Yeah. When you think of, when you're talking about it, God, about, you know, you're coming up in terms of what you saw in the streets and everything, and about how that would be inspiration for some of the records you could write, tell us what it was like in terms of what you saw out there outside of rap music in terms of, you know, how you were moving back then.
So, when it came to street shit, man, it really ain't nothing that I haven't seen or done firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't the guy that when I had an issue, I always had trust issues, so I never had a co-defendant. So that should just, I never in life had a co-D. So that should just tell you what how I was moving. Very militant, very tactical. Always, usually, you know, if I ever had to do anything or put in some work, I'm not calling nobody. I'm going to get busy on my own. And, you know, just not glorifying, but when you dealing with these streets, you know, you deal with treachery. It's just something that comes with the territory. It ain't even nothing that you can escape, because it's always somebody that think they tougher than somebody else, or it's always somebody that feel like, oh, I'ma take it work versus hustling. And, you know, like, I done been in both sides of the fence. I done been the taker, and, you know what I'm saying, I done been the hustler and the taker. So, and, you know, the driver and the shooter. So, it you know, I literally done did everything when it came to these streets. And I think that that's what people can understand and what they can tell the difference when they hear me rapping. I feel like, you know, it'd be the minute details where you hear somebody talking and then you're like, oh, nah, son did that. I could tell. You feel me? Or it may
right.
be a detail mm-hmm. that's intricate enough to where you're like, damn, I had that same situation. And I feel like that's what the gravitation is for Great God. That's why they gravitate to what I give them, because, like I told you, I really just be plugging the aux cord into my heart. The mic cord into my heart and giving you that and giving you everything that I saw. I just plug it into my brain and my heart and go at it. So, you know, a lot of what I spit, I mean, I would probably say, you know, sometimes we're going to embellish a little bit. I might talk
right.
about a car that I'm going to get in 2 months, but I ain't got it yet. But, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, you know, everything is, you know, that's it is what it is, man. And like I said, it ain't nothing to glorify. It ain't nothing that I would even put on other people. Like my little brother, for an example, he used to tell me a long time ago, like, yo, damn, man, you treat your friends better than you treat me. You give everybody, but, yo, bro, I wouldn't prescribe this lifestyle, and I wouldn't teach this lifestyle to nobody, because if you ain't got to do it, man, don't do it, because it's full of hurt. It's full of heartache. You have to hurt other people. You know, it's just to survive in the game and in the survive in the streets, period, it's just a recipe for disaster, man. It's just, and that's just like the bottom line. It just, you know, it's disastrous, man. And if you fortunate enough to make it out, you better tell them the pros and the cons. And that's what I do. I tell them the pros and the cons of this thing.
Perfect segue, God, because what we're seeing right now is, because this is a perfect, what you said leads right into our next question, because we see an amalgam of trials, literally with niggas going to court, tribulations with the troubles niggas be having, and the taking of life, because niggas get out there a little too deep and don't understand how to get out the waters of war
mm-hmm.
that they done decide to swim in.
Right.
We're seeing at this time now, in this particular time in hip-hop, and have for the past 10 years, decade plus, a lot of young brothers coming into this game who seemingly can't get away from the lifestyle. Disclaimer, on Off the Cuff Radio, we name drop. It's not to shame, diss, or, you know, malign somebody. It's to give our listeners an example. When we look at situations like with Young Thug on trial right now, we look at the situation of what happened to FBG Duck, you know.
Right.
We look at the situations,
mm-hmm.
you know, that have happened with, you know, Boosie with the gun case, this, that, and the other, so many others. The floor is yours, God. What do artists have to understand about getting into the game and concentrating on treating this as a business rather than a side hustle, than the main hustle you're trying to get away from to make your main hustle in the industry?
You got to do exactly that, man. You got to look at the, you have to look at this, and you got to, because I'll give you a perfect example. Like, for me, it was one foot, it was always one foot in, one foot out, one foot in, one foot out. And it's like, nah, that don't work. You got to do, first of all, to do and to be great at anything, you got to give it 1,000%. You got to give it your all. You got to give it everything. You can't give it just 80%. You better be able to give it 110%. And you have to look at it like a business. You got to treat it like it's work. You got to get up every day. You got to do it and put your heart in it. And, you know, for forever I didn't do that. And once I put my heart and my soul into it and said, you know what, if I was good at that, then ain't no reason why I can't be good and great at if I gave it my all. And I did that, and then the last year and a half, I'm finally, you know, being able to see, you know, the exactly what happened when you do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing the fruits of the labor right now. So, yeah, man, you just gotta, you know, for the brothers that's out there, they trying to do it as a side hustle. It's not gonna work, man. I'm not gonna say it's not gonna work. You gotta really know, you have to know and understand too that you and have in your mind what is the end goal, because it's something that you do on the side is only momentarily, right? If you got a side chick, if you got a side job, it's easy. That means you took it because you got in that predicament and put yourself in that predicament because you know it was only for a small length of time. So, yeah, you just got to give it your all, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what's dope about the game now is just like how we discovered you, like, it's wide open to where nobody can play gatekeeper and pretty much keep you in a box or keep you out of the getting exposed. Like now, with
right.
the right content, the right visuals, the right person can just discover you, just slip into his phone.
Yep. Yeah, it used to be you might have to go in front of the label. You might have to do real street team work and have people, you know, passing out flyers and hanging posters and all that. Right now, you ain't got to get in the car and go to Cleveland and hit every mixtape store, or go to Buffalo or go to Rochester. You can push the boost button on your phone. You can put a post up. You can boost it, and you can engage with your fans. But that's what a lot of people don't do that I see. That the rappers, they don't even talk to the fans. Like, you ever notice if you look at somebody's comments, right, they might got 600 comments. They ain't even thank one person for commenting.
Another perfect segue.
Or they will thank DJ Premier or Rock Marcy or, you know, only the people, you know. But nah, what about the fans? What about the people that wake up and stream your music every day? Don't forget them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's yeah.
Another perfect segue, God and King. Doja Cat recently came under controversial fire because of what she said about she really doesn't thank her fans, because she said, and I'm paraphrasing, because she said, I don't really know none of y'all, and a lot of people got upset. Now, I got what she was saying, because she was saying that she didn't know all of her fans personally, of which I am one. That bitch is talented. I'm just saying. But Doja Cat is just, she is just on next level. She's a little quirky, eccentric, even weird, but that girl's creative streak is, oh my God, she is, yeah. But anyway,
man, I really don't know her material like
and
that.
You know what, guys, to build on what T-Max was saying, this is one thing I noticed about the mainstream people, because I remember looking at a live stream that she did, and she was bigging up Little Brother, Fonte, and Big Pooh. So these people in the mainstream is paying attention to the underdog.
Right.
Yeah. when you talk about the interaction perspective, God, because that, like I said, that was bringing a lot of controversy in, because people were feeling like she really was not giving appreciation to her fans. When we see a lot of celebrities go online, and how do I word this? It's like they go on there and they just look at the comments, but they, a lot of times, some of them, because not all of them, because some of them really do acknowledge the people who come in their feed. And we even understand if you get like 2,000 people in your feed and it's hard to say what's up to everybody on live.
Right.
But then you also get a lot of them just looking, and it's like they don't even acknowledge anybody up there. You know,
right.
It's almost like for some of them a vanity just to see how many people they can have. But it's like, it's important. You as an artist, as a businessman, just as a dope human being in general, how important is it to engage with your fans, to talk to people on a regular, just to build that fan base and just interact?
For me, man, it's, so let me say this. For me, talking to the fans and being able to say thank you and to let them know that I appreciate them, to me, that's the most important part. And it's not only because you bought a CD or because I want you to buy a CD. For me, it's more like, yo, I've been trying to get the attention of y'all, get y'all attention for so long, and I just really want y'all to know how much I truly appreciate it. So me, if you go on any one of my posts, you can guarantee that I'm talking to elite. I pray right now it's like to the point where my DMs is so crazy. It's probably 1,200 people looking at my story. So a lot of times it's getting to the point where I can't repost everything. But I
talk, man, and I
leave voice memos, bro. Like, when people send me a message, I send them a voice memo and let them know, like, yo, God, I appreciate that. Yo, what was your favorite record on there? And then we might converse back and forth, you know what I'm saying, for 2-3 messages. But that's me, though. That's just who I am. It ain't. They might not have bought a CD. They might have just said they love the record, or you know, listen, I put my homeboy onto your joint, or I just got put on to you, and yo, how you learned about it? Oh, dope, that's dope, you know. And it's important for me to have that conversation, man, because guess what? I know how it feels to be revered, man. I know what it feels like to make somebody else feel special. You understand? So if you looking up at me like I'm something, I want you to know. Like, nah, I appreciate that, man. Like, it takes nothing to show your gratitude and appreciation, but you could just be hitting the like button. But when somebody leave an actual comment, that takes time, bro. So it don't take me no time. I could take out some time on my day to show my appreciation for those people, bro. So, you know, and even the negative comments, I let them know, like, hey, man, it's all good. I catch you next time around. You might, this everything ain't for everybody. You might like the next record. And then you know what they say? The next time I post something, oh, you was right. I like this one. Okay, cool. You know? But that's who Great God is, man. You know, I'm not going to say the people's champ, because I feel like I don't like giving myself titles. But, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be self-proclaimed nothing. I hear a lot of people self-proclaiming to be a lot of things, the GOATs and legends and this and that. I leave that to the people, but Great God is always going to speak to the fans. I grab random people and you know, we go live. And if people that was watching me when I had 4 people in my live, and now they're watching now that I got 300 in my live, and we friends, you know what I'm saying? It's like we close now.
Right.
So, yeah.
Man,
it's dope.
That's
dope. And you know what? Let me add on to that one thing.
Go ahead.
A lot of the people that I met online, I'm closer to them, and they share your music and do more than the people that you really really know.
And it's crazy you say that, because there's so many things to build off of that. First off, because we're going to get to this in a second in terms of how you got this collabo with, you know, with the butcher, Buffalo Butcher himself, Benny. Shout out to him, Tony De Niro, DJ Zookeeper, Rick Hyde, Heen, you know, Street Soprano, you know, Fuego Bass. I was trying to get it, make sure I got everybody, Armani Caesar, the whole clip, because they came down here, and City Boy, can't forget City Boy. So they were all out here in Virginia a couple months ago for a show, and especially shout out to, you know, City Boy and De Niro. So I'm, you know, at the show, catch up with all of them. So I'm backstage with them in the VIP after the show. And the love all the Black Soprano family showed me was just tremendous. If any of y'all listen out there, Black Soprano family, you know, Off the Cuff Radio, myself personally, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And Benny took the time to sign everything that I had, which was a lot.
Right.
But that's just how Benny is. That's just who he really is. And Benny said, and he said, I love doing stuff like this because I know for you as an artist, you know, and for King, especially with what he's done with Off the Cuff Radio starting this, and for myself, there is no greater gratification I think we all collectively feel and have knowing what we started at, where we've been, and where we're at now, and to see everybody really come for the ride and everything and, like, really, really, really appreciate it.
Wow.
And that's special because people don't understand it. They see it from us being podcasters or yourself being an artist and think that this is easy. We're like, no, it's not. You know, for a nuclear talent as yourself, you know, 562 shows. We've interviewed the majors. We've interviewed the independents. But collectively, you all share what it means to get in there and do it yourself. So we understand the drive, the dedication, and determination you all have. Just like what we do in terms of what we do, along with so many other people that help us get guests. You know, Angela Covington, you know, Dyer Lansky, you know, Chili Chill from the Lynch Mob, so many countless others that we can't name everybody, but so many people behind this help us. In addition to King and myself getting out there doing it. When you look at it in terms of what it means to see your growth, how King found you online, how he put me onto you, how you've seen your fan base organically grow, to see the interaction of real appreciation as an artist, how does that feel knowing that for all the work you've put in, that it has really... You know, you're not bubbling anymore. You've exploded in a great way.
Oh, man, I'm not going to lie to you. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It feels beautiful. It feels beautiful, man. Like when I think about it, it's like like I said, man, it's overwhelming because that's all I never rapped because I wanted the money. I was always in a situation that wasn't it. To feel the love and the overwhelming response and people really saying, "Damn, like, nah, this is it. Like, you killing them." It feels amazing, man. I'm not gonna lie. That's the only way I could describe it. It feels amazing. It feels amazing. Like truly amazing.
I mean, but you deserved it. And what do people have to understand about it in terms of what you put in for this, in terms of how you, what's a typical writing session for you like? What's a typical marketing meeting like for you? What goes into the production of your product, you know, to serve it out there to the masses?
What's the process of actually, like, getting it out, you said?
Well, creating and then distribution.
Mm-hmm. go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I just said, like, just, you know, what's the typical writing, like, what's a writing session like for you in terms of how you get motivated to write in terms of, you know, just, like, some people will sit, you know, fire up, you know, the herbal essence of the earth. Some people, you know, sit around, watch TV, and get inspired. You know, everybody has their different dives that they go into before they get into that dialogue on pen and paper. What's the process like for you in terms of when you get into writing mode, when you get into album mode, mixtape mode, and then your strategy on how you're going to market it and then distribution, getting it out there?
Okay, so when it comes to actually putting the records together, my process is very, very simple. It's usually me in the crib by myself. I don't drink, I don't smoke. So I never drank or smoked in my life, so I don't really need, I don't need none of that. I usually just need to hear the beat, and the beat, if the beat catch me within the first 10, 15 seconds, I'm going in there and I'm laying the record down, and it'll be done in probably like 20 minutes. None of those records that you hear took more than 20 minutes to make, start to finish. Now, I might, you know, the only thing that I do need to, like, in the stool is, you know, I just need it to be quiet a lot of times. So a lot of times I hear the beat and I write and then I turn the beat off and finish writing. Like I don't usually listen to the beat the whole time I'm writing. And then, like, one thing that I do when I'm writing is every time I write a new bar, even till it get to the end of, because I don't, you know, some of my stuff be unorthodox. It might be a 16, it might be a 32, it might be a 24. You just never know. I go back to the first bar every time and keep going and keep and then I write a couple few more bars and I go back to the first and spin it all the way through again, and that's how I do it. And I record myself all of those records on the Snow Day EP, all the records on the new Great God EP. I recorded all of them myself, sitting down in the chair at my desk in front of the mic, hitting you know what I'm saying, hitting that record button, and that's it. So after I record the record, then I probably send it to either Thanos, or I send it to Parks, or the Joe Button podcast, or I send it to Thanos, or I send it to Merc, or I either send it to my man William Bostic, and I get the record mixed. After I mix it, then I go, I go in my ASCAP, I register the record, you know, make sure that it's registered through Harry Fox. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that the publishing and all of that is right. Make sure that the splits is right with the producers. And then I just probably let it sit in the hard drive until I'm ready to put the project together. When I do the distribution, it just depends. It just depends. Like I tried a couple different ones. I did, like, TuneCore. I did DistroKid. And then now I'm using I forgot who the hell I'm using right now, but the next one I'm doing Rough Nation, me and Chris Schwartz. So that's the process right there. And then, you know, I do the social media marketing. I probably hire a publicist for a couple weeks on my initial rollout, and that's really the process right there.
One thing you said, God, that's the most important. The ASCAP.
Yep.
You see so many artists miss out on this in terms of understanding how to register your music in terms of your publishing, which is your trademark, to let everybody know this is your shit.
Right.
How important is that for artists to understand the business aspects of making sure that, you know, their music is registered properly?
Oh, man, that's very important, because you miss out on so much money a month, man. Like, I mean, you pay all that money to go to the studio. You pay money to get it mixed. You pay money for the beat if you're not doing it yourself. And then you're just giving it away. Like, it's very important to make sure that you got that together. Because, you know, that's for the baby. That's long-term money, you know. And you got to have that digital fingerprint on there so that when people know, oh, okay, you know, make sure that it's BDS. Make sure that it's, you know, that that you got that fingerprint, that digital fingerprint. So that everything right now is about monetization. So you want to make sure that you're monetizing on the music and you're getting back what you're supposed to get back. You should be getting 2-3 checks, at least three checks every month.
Man, and one thing about it, too, what you just said, damn, we're just full of segues in this show, man. I'm loving it. What you said about the checks in terms of making sure the money. Okay, once again, we're not trying to shit on nobody. The situation that happened with G Herbo recently and how he pled guilty to the basically the credit card fraud, you know, and all that stuff in terms of, you know, I believe identity theft was part of it as well. Anybody can check us on YouTube about it for the accuracy of it. But we know he got in some trouble basically with fraudulent credit card schemes, you know, which goes into the next part about, because this is multi-layer, but it all comes home like a home run swing. We see a lot of rappers spend a lot of money.
Right.
And we see a lot of videos with a lot of dope shit in it. But then we find out in cases like the situation just happened with Soulja Boy, where he had that judgment against his ex-girlfriend where, you know, the judge ordered he had to pay X amount of money, and his lawyer was trying to say he didn't have it. They said his bank account, they said his net worth is in a negative right now. He even said, I done spent a lot of money and I really don't have it. How important is it as an artist to understand that the money you make when you do have a bit of a surplus after you've paid everybody, how important it is to save it and to make sure that you reinvest it in sound investments?
No, that's very important. It's very, very, very important to make sure that you, first of all, put some away, because don't think that it's just because it's sunny, it ain't going to rain. You know, put some away. You know,
church,
as cliche as it sounds, put some away for a rainy day. You got to do that. And then, you know,
right,
you want your money ultimately to be working for you when you sleep. That's when you're making money. Like, when you want money to be generating and working for you even when you're not working. When you're resting, the money should be, you know, should be piling still. So you got to reinvest. And then you must reinvest. Like, you know what's so crazy is, I used to shoot a lot of videos for cats, and I would see them bring $10,000. The outfit might cost $4,000. They got $20,000 cash in the video, right? But then when the video come out, they only put it on Facebook. Like, boy, like, so you don't want to spend no money on marketing, but you spend all of this money to rent the Lambo, to do this, to do that, to do this and that. But you don't even want to spend a third of that money to market it. So how are you supposed to get a return on your investment? You can't. But I feel like that, you know, it's cats like myself, and that's what, like, shout out to my brother Tragedy Gaddafi. He just
stand up.
Yeah. Traz just told me that he actually is doing a class and doing a school about that. And he doing a class and a school. And he gonna be teaching, and I'm gonna be definitely going, and he asked me to to teach a class with him and we just gonna teach them like the importance of the publishing, the importance of the ASCAP and Harry Fox and all of these things, you know what I'm saying? And making sure that you can get your money and your business affairs is in order, because a lot of cats is making hit records, but they ain't reaping the benefits from it. But yeah, you definitely got to reinvest in your craft and put some money away and spend at least half. You know, I used to tell people, like, listen, man, if you spend $1,000 on a video, you better spend $1,500 on the video to market it and put it back so you can try to get, you know, some of your bread back. If you don't get the bread back, then I don't really know what you're doing. But people do it though.
It's wild, man, because when we look at a lot of those situations, we've all met individuals who we know really got it, of course, and that's always the allure of the game, because when everybody, to see a video, everybody thinks that everybody's rich Everybody's paid, you know, and it's not like that, you know. It's matter of fact, shout out to Cookie Money, the young boss out in Oakland, and, you know, he was talking about the jewelry game, and he was talking about how a lot of these rappers are using these moissanite diamonds, you know, and it's like, he's like, I was, because Cookie is a real dude. For those that know about Cookie Money out in Oakland, you know his G-file, and you know that dude is really stand up, and he really came from that cloth of real, you know, hustlers. And so Cookie, everything Cookie got in his video, that's his. But he was talking about how a lot of these rappers, like, and I was wondering how, because he was saying, I was wondering how a lot of these rappers are wearing these diamonds and all that, just out of nowhere. He's like, then I found out a lot of these diamonds were fake.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You would think it was a diamond.
Therefore, the diamond touches like the rash, man, so you know it's fake.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But in terms of it, man, go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the rest of the nuts brought up a segue. This is another segue right here in pertaining to the music, but we talk about QB. How do you guys end up working with Mobb Deep on the Wolf Season joint?
Oh, okay, so the Wolf Season joint, so mind you, rest in peace, Prodigy. I knew Prodigy, you know, for a few years before he passed, and I know Tragedy even longer. The Wolf Season EP and getting Havoc on that record. So we already, Joey Majors already had the Prodigy verse, and he was like, "Yo, let's get Havoc on it." So I called my man Infamous Fly, and PR Dean called Infamous Fly and tried to get him to get Havoc on the record, and then, you know, we tried a few times, and then it didn't happen, and then I think Matty Fingers ended up getting Havoc on the record, and once he heard P on there, then he was like, "Yo, the beat sound crazy." The beat, I thought that was one of my old beats, and I'm like, "Oh, that's crazy," but really Thanos did that beat, so it was like, man. It was like, yo, it was just dope. It was like, oh, okay. Once he got it, heard it, and then he came into the video. And now, you know, me and Havoc is on the phone every other day because now, you know, we working on the EP ourselves. So, but that's how we got him on the Wolf Season joint. That really was Joey. That all was a Joey Majors play. Joey Majors put me, he already had the record. He put me on the record, and then got Havoc on the record.
Man, what was that like to get all? What was it like for that to be with all them legends in terms of actually working with them like that?
Oh man, I ain't gonna lie, man. For me, it was very special because, you know, I grew up listening to the Mob. You know, those Mob Beat records is forever in my heart. You know what I'm saying? So to actually have Havoc and Prodigy on there, man, it was like, dang, like, that's crazy. And then that was, like, one of the last verses that P spit, too, you know, before his untimely demise. So that made it dope, too. That made it real dope.
That whole New York sound, what you, Mobb Deep, Tragedy, all of y'all, and most recently, even though they've been around for a while, but they finally are getting their flowers, Griselda, Westside, Benny, you know, and Conway. And obviously you're upstate New York. How did that situation with Benny come about in terms of how did you and him collab?
So Benny is somebody that I've known for decades.
Oh, wow.
I know Benny.
Y'all got history.
Nah, yeah, me, I know Benny since 2004 or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I knew Benny when he was 2 Chainz Benny Mane. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. So Benny, you really go back with Benny? Okay.
Yeah, man. I knew Benny. Benny name been ringing since then, man. Like, he was one of them cats that when I was running around, you know, doing what I was doing in the streets in Buffalo and Syracuse and Rochester, his name was ringing for that rap shit already. Like, he already was he'd been the king of his city. So, you know, we was dealing and DJ Shay, may he rest in peace, was
rest
like my God, bro.
Shay, man.
Yeah,
man.
Shay is a real true brother. You know what I mean? We was like brothers for real. Like Shay been in my crib, Benny too, but Benny was always in jail. So you know, Shay and I relationship was and bond was a little bit stronger, but Benny was just one of them cats that was always nice, always really, 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 really superb at rapping. You feel me? He been killing shit for I don't know how long. So,
and he was the last
you know,
one to start rapping because Conway and Westside were doing it, and they taught him how to do it.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, and he, you know, bro was just different. He just always was different with his shit. So, you know, the collab came. That collab was once again a Joey Majors play. Because to be honest, I was just starting to get back into writing and putting records out. And my man Joey called me, and he wanted to get Butch on the record. And I'm like, all right, I'll call him for you. So I called him, and I told Benny what the play was. He was like, yeah, nah, I got you. I'll do it. And, you know, we went to Drama Studio in Atlanta, and we did the record. And after that, you know, Benny had hit me in my inbox. He was like, yo, you going to be putting out some new music? What you doing? Like, you know, come on now. It's time now. So, you know, when he extended his hand a couple times, And then, you know, reached out to me to see, like, you know, why I wasn't putting no music out. It made me take it even more serious at that time. And then, you know, like, me and Benny got a couple records together. We got some choices that y'all ain't heard yet that we're going to be putting back out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, the history that you're giving us here is, I mean, your family tree history in terms of hip hop, it just reads like a who's who. I mean, these are all legends that you've been around. You know, I mean, this is only one word I can say: destiny. You were meant to do this. This is your anointing. This is your calling.
Yeah, man.
So we got to get to you about this. We still got a little bit of time in the show. Okay, we're looking at you as Ghostface Jr. because of the mask.
I was just with Ghostface in Vegas last week. That's crazy. Go ahead.
So the mask thing. Because you, Lakely 47, a couple of y'all in the industry, y'all rock the mask as your trademark. Cam, I'm trying to think of that Haitian dude that rocks his joint too. I cannot remember his name. I think it begins with B. But but he's another nigga that be rocking the mask as well. So how did the mask thing become a thing with you?
So the mask thing became a thing. It was really, 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 really very simple. It was like, man, you know what? What I'm spitting is way more important than what I look like. Mm. Let me let them focus on one thing and one thing only, because everybody else has showed them everything else.
Right,
we know what
right.
kind of car you drive. We know what woman you're dealing with. We know what your watch is. We know your jewelry. We know all of this. We know all of that. So guess what? You know, great God, how could you? Let me think of how I'm going to do this different. I'm not even going to show them what I look like. I'm going to let them keep guessing. And plus, what I'm saying is far more important than what I look like. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just keep this mask on forever. Like I don't never need to take it off, and it gives me a peace of mind. I could jump off the stage, walk through the crowd. I could go eat dinner with my family without being, you know what I'm saying? Like I could do. It just enables me to do a lot of things, man, that I wouldn't normally be able to do. Like imagine all of the great God and all of the blogs I've been on and all the radio stations and shows I did. It might be a little difficult for me to move around if I didn't have a mask on right now.
How important is it? And the humility and the sincerity we hear, because you mentioned family and just living a regular life. How important is that for you as a family man, as a human being, to be able to step away and when you're not great God on stage, you know, your great God all over, because in terms of that's your essence as a talent. But this is a human being, you know, is your government, you know, name like. How important is that for you to maintain that level of anonymity to just do regular shit? How important is that?
Oh, man, that's very important for me. Very important. And that's what I was going to say, like, guarding my anonymity, like, that's that, but that comes from really being in the street too. You understand? Like, I never really wanted to be seen. I never really took a lot of pictures. I never really was a show off. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody had those occasions where, you know, where they, you know, they may get caught up in the vanity a little bit, but for me, the anonymity was the most important part. So for me to be able to still be able to, and family is far more important than all of this. I put my career to the side in order to raise my babies. Like, I got my last two kids, they ain't never been to a daycare. I never missed no football games. I never missed no doctor's appointments. I put my whole life on hold to make sure that they, you know, that they was instilled with the right thing, and they had the proper upbringing, and they came home and they didn't have to worry about the lights being off, and, you know, come home and be able to swim in that backyard, and, you know, and jump off that diving board. I put all of my street, you know, my rap aspirations and my rap goals to the side in order to do that for them. So, you know, family for me is very important.
And that is something I think that's so understated when we look at so many mothers and fathers in this business. We look at guys like Jay-Z, you know, his wife Beyonce, and you don't see them all up in the pictures, taking pictures. You know, Jay and B have been famous for years, and they don't come out unless it makes sense for them to come out, you know.
Right.
But everybody's like, where they at? I'm like, well, shit, they living their life, raising their family. That's what they doing.
Right, right.
You know, you saw a picture with Busta Rhymes, you know, a couple years back where he was walking his son to college, you know.
Right.
You know, it's... What do people have to understand about this business in terms of what it means for being an artist and being a parent and just making sure that everything, because we've seen so much, we've seen what happens when that light gets too bright, when the fame becomes really flaming, you know, it's hard to balance both. And we've seen situations at times where it has not gone well in terms of where you see your family shit getting out there and you don't want it to be out there, understandably.
Right.
What do people have to understand about this in terms of, you know, this for you as people, what this means being really, really being a provider and what that entails?
I mean, so... I would say we gotta, let me see how to word this.
Take your time.
One part of that question is that they gotta, I mean, how important is it? Is the family? We gotta get back to the importance of the family structure, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people look at,
Preach. Go.
Yeah, a lot of us is looking like, a lot of us look at what we see on Instagram, the life that we see others live, and we want to live that life by any means necessary, and we willing to not even have a family dynamic or deal with the family in order to chase that. So I feel like that first and foremost, we got to get back to the what's important, what's truly important, what's really important, not what looks good, but what's really important. And I think that once we do some soul searching and, you know, self assessment in that nature, that it'll be things will be different, you know. But if you living your life and you looking at these damn Instagram people and what they buying for their husbands and this, you know, people measuring their lives on by what they see on this damn internet.
Nigga, talk about it, please, right. Please.
They look at your girl might come to you and say, man, look at what money bag yo bought his girlfriend this or even they might say, well, damn, what's the Simmons
Angela.
Why she only she bought right Angela. Yo, they laughing. You see Angela, she only bought him a Tesla for his birthday. It's like, damn, she got to buy a Bentley? Like, you understand?
A Tesla? Or
you mean to tell me that a cupcake and a movie date wouldn't have been suffice? It got to be over the top. You understand?
Man.
So that just show you where it just show you where we at as a people, man. It's like, oh, nah, like, this shit is out of hand, man.
Nigga, we still looking at Jordan Poole with that date for Ice Spice of that alleged $500,000 he spent on a date with her.
Uh-huh, Millie Watts.
Right.
And Mason Cam, I mean, oh, God, shout out to Mason Cam on this sports show, man, because those guys are just great
Why
together.
Why was killing them, said, oh, I missed that one. What'd they say?
He could have bought her a pizza.
So, yo, she's from the Bronx, so you should know who buy her Millie Watts.
Oh, no.
Man, when May said he could have bought her a pizza. And you know, just when that May just delivers it, you know, with that deliverance call.
Man.
And we were like, but you know, God and King, you're in the music industry. We're in the journalism business. We all are children of this culture. And we've seen how social media, and I've said this for the millionth time on Off the Cuff, and I'll say it again, we love social media because it's what it's done for us and our growth, but we don't get caught up in it from a perspective like other people trying to live our life through it. And I think that's where the problem is, because we see this is, I don't mean to go on a long-winded rant like I sometimes do, but lately I've been trying to kind of keep it a little bit short, but I gotta spend like the block on it. It's a situation where back in the day when you look at how artists were from the street perspective, you know, we know niggas like Rakim, Kool G Rap, you know, Easy, you know, Jeezy, Gucci, we know they was all doing it. But the thing was, they were doing it from a perspective of trying to get out, and they damn sure weren't going to put it out there in terms of the street shit, what they were really doing on the when it really got down to the bone gristle. If you had it, you wanted to kind of keep that concealed. You didn't want everybody knowing. Like, we knew Jeezy came up with BMF, and we saw the videos, Free Meech, by the way. You know, so we knew what was going on, but it was like, it was just enough that you knew he was official, but it was like, he didn't have to go over the top with it. You know, you knew when BMF was rolling, when Jeezy was out there with the crew, you knew they was for real with it. You know, and now we're seeing everybody is just trying to, I mean, look, niggas is getting online, showing they scamming techniques, you know.
Right.
I mean, you got the Instagram
showing them,
models.
Showing them cooking coke.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like everybody's out there trying to show off everything. And I'm like, you know, and everybody's like, they say do it for the gram. I'm like, no. I'm like, that's why some of y'all niggas getting locked up, because y'all are putting too much out there. You know, and it's like, you know, but everyone's trying to live their life directly in terms of showing it, or living their life vicariously through somebody else. As a man, as a father, how important is it? What do you teach your kids just about just being happy with who they are? And as you as a person, being happy with who you are, that you don't have to prove anything to anybody. Hello?
I think his call got dropped. He'll probably call back. Yeah, call
okay.
back, bro.
Gotcha. Call back, man. Call back. Yeah, man.
Yes, kind of that happens like that, though, man. But that's just a lot of gems that we're getting in this interview right here.
Absolutely. Off the Cuff Radio, shout out to the one and only Great God. We are live and direct. Just basically chop it up like we always do about this time. I mean, and it's something that, you know, we doing. If you want to dial in, number is 1-516-531-9596. Yeah, God, you back with us?
Yeah, my bad. I don't know what happened. Yep.
You're all good. It's all good. Yeah. So we was asking, when you see everybody in a rush to put everything out there like that, where back in the day you didn't put everything out there for obvious reasons, what do people have to understand about being happy with who they are as individuals? What have you instilled in your kids about just being happy with who they are and you being happy with who you are and not having to prove yourself to anybody or anything?
Yeah, first of all, what you got to understand is that what the kids have to understand is that it's all a facade. Everything
right.
that you see on Instagram, those people really not rich. They really
right.
don't have that money. They really not living that life. So don't get caught up in trying to keep up with the Joneses. If you try to keep up with the Joneses, like, it's always going to be somebody with a better car. If you get a Rolex, somebody going to get a Baccarat Constantine.
He's going extra fancy with it.
Yeah, like, it's a never-ending story. So as a kid, you can't get caught up in that. But I do understand, though, too. So, what I try to tell my son and my daughter that's teenagers is like, man, you just be whoever you are, just be your authentic self. You don't got to try to keep up with and try to be something. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses because none of that is real. Hey, but one thing I do realize as a
right.
parent, though, it have to be very hard to see somebody that you call your peer that's 18 years old with money all up and down their arm with a Rolls Royce, and then they're preaching to you in their songs that they never graduated school or they never had no parents. And then you get kids that got parents and dad had everything, and then they start talking about, my parents wasn't this, or I didn't have this, why I lived this type of life, or you know, like they came up in those circumstances. But it's like, you know, it got to be hard to see them people on there on that because that's all they do is watch that phone and they watch them videos. And what is the kids, what kind of records is they promoting? They promoting records that talk about killing each other and killing the ops and getting some money and being a drug user, not even a hustler, but, you know, popping pills and syrups and all this shit. So if you got to see that and hear that every time you turn around, it ain't no way that you can't go on the internet or you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to see it on the internet, and then you're going to see it again on your phone. So I understand that it got to be difficult for them, but you just got to, you know, it's just very important to let them know that all of that shit is fake, son. Like, it ain't real. These kids don't. Like, you look at these rappers that are telling you that they had all these bricks and all of this, and they've been rapping since they was 9 years old, or they've been rapping, they've been famous since they was kids. When did you sell these birds? I'm lost.
And one thing about it, too, you know, God and King, people got to understand, you know, obviously, you know, King and myself, we were never out there. We knew people that did who got off the porch real early. And then built the damn house after they got off the porch. So we know what it's like out there in terms of people that we know that were really in the streets. So one thing we knew, too, that shit was really goddamn dangerous out there.
Right. Right.
It was dangerous. Still is. You know?
No, it still is. It's even more dangerous now.
I mean, when you talking about when we've seen rappers getting laid down, and there has become a lot of consternation about the state of hip-hop in terms of where people are saying, well, it's the cause of all this violence. I'm like, no. I'm like, let's stop the dumb shit right here.
It's already
number one, exactly. Thank you, King. Thank you, my brother. The violence has already been here. The music
right.
was more of an effect rather than a cause because the music was the outward manifestation of speaking on what was happening in the streets. Now, conversely
right.
speaking, what we're seeing now is more of it being broadcast, which does have an effect because it's like anything, you know, and this is a two pronged question, God, because what we're seeing now is where did the industry change in terms of where when we grew up, we listened to everything. I think that's why our musical experience in hip-hop, our understanding and education of the culture and the genre is different, because we were multifaceted. We were raised in an area of we listened to everything. You know, King's 40, I'm 45. So we were raised in a whole different time of what we listened to, of listening to everything. And now we're seeing these young kids, like you said, they just, everything's about pushing weight, pushing P, selling ass. Fucking everybody's a killer. You know, they're blowing the ops away. And it's like, nigga, this is way different now. I'm like, damn sure we had an issue. We really weren't calling people out. We really had to ride. We just rode on them. We're not telegraphing no threats over here. We just coming to see them if that's what it is.
Right. We ain't going to record it. Like, they're going to record themselves on their way to the hit and all that, man. Like,
Like they running the 2-3 zone or something. They giving a play-by-play to drop.
It's like what happened to the Raiders when they played the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. Buccaneers already knew the game plan because they had our coach. They already knew what was coming. It's like, I mean, what do these youngins have to understand in terms of the difference of what is quote unquote popular, but what is actually substantial in terms of the music, and why they're getting into the music? Because now we see a lot of our young kids, they just want to get into it just because they want to be seen on the social media. Back in the day, you rapped if you really had talent.
Right. And that's what I love about the, and you know, that's a big thing right there, right? Was that what you said? Like, it was at a time where you had to be nice. You might have to battle a few people in your hood. You might have to go around the world and battle some cats to get noticed. Now, anything that you do that's financially driven is going to be weak, because that means you damn near do. If anything that's solely driven for the sake of finances, it's going to be weak. It's going to be corny. You can't build on that. You can't build on that. If you're only doing it for the money, that means you'll do anything. What won't you do for the money? These kids right now, they see rap as a way to get in there and get a few dollars. And they don't even want to get a few dollars and get their mama out the hood. They want to get a few dollars to buy a fake watch so they can get some more likes on Instagram. They just want to be. It's just vanity. You know, vanity is the biggest drug known to man. Shit. They just want to be famous. They just want to be seen. Because any time that you make a record about somebody that you beefing with, and you know that if you see them outside, you might kill them, or they gonna kill you, and you put it on a song, you're not the smartest. You're not the sharpest knife in the drawer at that point. Like, and that's why the detectives ain't got to do nothing but sit on IG all day. They ain't got to do no field work.
Hip-hop police is real, man.
Man, you ain't got to do no field work. They ain't got to go outside. They could get an Instagram page like they got, and they just follow you and watch you and just monitor your DMs, because these dudes is texting and telling everybody what they going to do, who they did it to, when they did it, why they did it, and they might do it again if you get out of jail.
And they don't even got to follow you, like talking about it. It's a situation, an investigation. All the feds got to do is make a call to Mark Zuckerberg and be like, yo, we need this. We think such and such is a person of interest in this, and we need that information access. Fuck following them. Mm-hmm. We need that information.
Right.
You know, but it's something that I think when we look at the generation today, and we're not these old angry men just yelling off the hill. We are older, and we are concerned about the next generation. We love the babies that are coming behind us. We want them to understand that we are seeing a situation in hip-hop with murders that are beyond anything we ever thought. The Tupac and Biggie thing was one thing, and that didn't even have to happen. That was really... It's a deeper issue we can't get into on air with some of the nuances, but all we're going to say on off the cuff is that that was really a misunderstanding between those two that got out of, that totally went left. You know, that was something that did not have to happen.
Yep.
That was a misunderstanding between those two that unfortunately they never got to sit down and really talk about. But when we look at other situations that have happened, where, and it's not even with the artist getting killed, it's their families. I mean, look at what happened with Honeycomb Brazy. His parents, grandparents were murdered, and they burned the house down. Me and King looking like,
right.
Yo, son, what you got going on? They burned down the house and killed
they
your grandparents.
They burned down Granny and them shit.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, what you got going on out here? I mean,
well,
King, what was
robbed? You robbed the car, King?
Hey, but you know the crazy part is Honeycomb Brazy would have pushed his own mom, his own grandmama down the steps for a viral moment. That's the fucked up part. Nigga pushed his granny down the steps in a wheelchair to go viral right now.
And I mean, but you
that's
figure
how thirsty these cats are.
Yeah, and then you figure you know, they had a Florida rapper. He got killed. What was his name? Because I'm looking at it right now online. Let's see. 350 Heem. He was killed at his own album release. Album release party. And
hold on.
Go ahead.
He was at his album release party and they killed
yes.
him?
Yes. They killed
at
him
his
at his
own
album
release.
Yes, at his own album release party, they killed him.
Hmm.
So, and we're like, and we're seeing this trend because I want to word this very carefully because I don't want it to come off as condescending, arrogant, or dismissive, or critiquing. It's just an observation. But what we're seeing now is a lot of, when we look at a lot of rappers who are coming in the game at a young age, of course, Nas dropped Illmatic when he was 20. Rakim dropped Paid in Full when he was 17. Mac Mull dropped Sick With This when he was 17. LL dropped Radio when he was 15, 16 years old. You know, so we're seeing a situation now with a lot of these young rappers coming in to where, from where the legends beforehand, the rappers who I mentioned, there was a certain level of control, there was a certain level of restraint. And what we're seeing now with some of these young rappers coming in the game, it's like they're coming straight out the street into the studio but not understanding that, you know, you really got to change your ways in this. But I mean, when someone's bold enough to kill you at your own album release party, we're like, dude, what did you have going on out there?
Right. Right.
You know,
That's crazy.
You know, I mean, we look at a situation, we can only, you know, we look at the rap beefs, we can only say this on air because this has already been spoken on. A lot of Cash Desto, when she was killed last year in Houston, and she's the daughter of one of the guys who they think killed Young Dolph, you know, who they have in custody, you know, we tell everybody this beef shit is not just what you cook. Your family could be the ingredients in this shit, too.
Yeah, and see, and that's a lot of things that these young men don't understand and young women. What you do spills off onto so many other people's plate, man, and they just don't care. They so selfish nowadays that they don't care. They don't know that the actions that they put down and what they do on the street, it don't have to necessarily come back to you getting locked up. It might have your little sister get killed. It may have somebody come and grab your mama. It could be, you know what I'm saying? But they don't think about that. And because they be so wet behind the ears and they just be so ready to go outside and do something that they heard on a song or they hear their favorite rappers talking about this shit and it don't really sink in until you in the jail and then you locked up and it's like, oh, damn, oh, this is what it's like. Oh, I really can't get out of this situation. It's easy to get in trouble, but it's hard to get yourself out of that shit. So,
man,
you know, they got, you know, that's what you, and they, and like I said, man, you know, it's a domino effect. Now your mama crying. Now everybody, now your mama got to walk doubles because she want to put, because she want to put money on the phone. You done fucked everybody life up because you don't want to listen and you want to be hard-headed.
And it's no glory once you get got, whether by the gun or whether by, you know, the law. You know, let me try to be a little bit more clever. It ain't no fun when you get got by the gun or the gavel. Either you get judged or, you know, you get put in the dirt, one or the other.
Right. That's right.
When did you start seeing the musical climate change in terms of what was being marketed, in terms of how radio was, how programming was? King and myself, we kind of look at it from when these corporations started taking over the radio stations, where the radio stations used to be independently owned, now it's corporate-based.
Yeah.
Which is now influencing the playlist. When did you start seeing it to change?
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I feel like that once it got out of the hands of our hands, and it became a business, and once they realized that how big it was and how much influence we had,
yes sir,
then that's when it changed. And they knew exactly what they was doing. They said, okay, now we got them. Okay, okay. All we got to do is put the poison in the music, and all we gonna do is pump the poison. Well, I knew we was in a bad space when I heard Percocet, Molly Percocet on the radio.
Right, right.
I said, damn. Hold on. I remember when you couldn't even say Coke on the radio. Now you got this man saying Molly Percocet, like, nah. I knew at that point for me was, I remember vividly saying to myself and saying to whoever I was in the car with, probably one of my kids, like, nah, this is crazy, man. This don't make no sense. You get to say all that on the radio? Nah. Because these kids, man, you know, and look at what the kids is on. What they on now, what they taking now, perks. And they taking fake perks. And they trying to, they taking anything that'll get them high. They taking perks, and then you get Kodak Black and them on the radio talking about, you know, he knew the perk was fake, but he took it because he a gremlin. Do you know how much influence he got around these kids? You know how many kids listening to his music? Millions. You think the label went to him and said, nah, we're going to censor that, Kodak. That might be a little bit too much. You think they did that? No, they put the jumper cables on the record and made more people hear it.
And I think, you know, y'all, that is the that's the conundrum we have, because we all love the culture, we love the music, you know, but we don't love everything that's being put in there. You know, when everybody says, because of course Nas had a controversy back in the day when he entitled the 2006 release "Hip Hop Is Dead." Everybody was, you know, criticizing him for it, but we knew exactly what he meant. Rap, as we knew it then, was dead in terms of how we grew up listening to it.
Right.
But the culture lives forever. I mean, when you got niggas like yourself, Kool G Rap, who just dropped a flamer of an album this year. Oh my God! Currency, you know, dropped his joint last year. Well, Currency just drops fire every other damn week. I mean, that nigga. of course, Street Soprano, shout to him, the whole BSF, you know, Fuego Bass, Ricky Hyde, he just dropped his joint. You know, it's like, so the culture, you know, all you, you know, God, all of y'all collectively are keeping the culture alive. The problem is that the radio is not
I don't think it's radio, man, because, you know, nobody really tune in for radio like that anymore. If anything, I say it's more so the gatekeepers of radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because they the ones charging big money just for drops or
Yeah, and they said it takes like $200,000 just to get a song on the radio now.
Right. It takes like $200,000 for you to hear it every day, four times a day. Yeah. Yep.
But one thing about it, and I heard this years ago, I can't remember, but it spoke to me personally. They said real hip hoppers, real connoisseurs of the culture, don't listen to the radio. They're reading the blogs and they're reading the magazines. And
right.
Of course, I'm a big magazine nigga. Source and Double XL, I've been a reader of them for years. Don Diva, Straight Stuntin', rest in peace, DJ K Slay, Feds, As Is Magazine. You know, I got all of them. And that's how and of course, just being honored to be on this show off the cuff, you know, co-hosting, you know, part of my job along with King is we just go through pages. You know, the algorithm works for us in beautiful ways, you know, and we reach out to people. So the music, like yourself and so many others, you know, God is out there. It's part of our job. We take it very seriously to make sure people like yourself get heard. You know, we take that very seriously because niggas like you are too dope to not give an interview to and to not listen to. You know, we've enjoyed this. We got about 15 minutes up, but we're going to make the most of it. But, dude, we want to
get... I got to ask you this, too. Yeah. I got to ask you this, though, bro, because you know why we at it. We got the new album coming out, man, the third coming. And what can people expect from that? That's different from your previous project? Because I know you also did one. I'm going to follow up with this question. With that question, too, first. And working with Hell Rail on that joint, man. What was it like working with Hell Rail?
So Hell Rail, that working with Rail on that record was, it was dope, man. I know Rail for a while, but we had a street relationship. But so he knew I rapped. I knew he rapped, of course. But we never did no music, so you know, he was one of them guys who was like, yeah, we'll do it when it's time to do it. You know what I'm saying? I think I had asked him to do a feature one time before that, and usually I only ask once, and then I'll never ask again. But working with Rel, like you know, he was just like, yo, we'll do it when it makes sense, and it made sense because he was going through something. And, you know, he was feeling the way about, you know, his daughter's relationship. And I was feeling the way about the relationship that I was going through with my son at the time. So the record was perfect for us both to get on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't a forced record. We both was going through some stuff, and it made sense. So, you know, that was dope. But what you can expect from this project is, you know, I see some people be like, oh man, all he talk about is work and all he talk about is drugs. And I'm like, yeah, that was just for that project because that project was supposed to be, that's what it was. You know what I'm saying? And when I stick to the script, I wanted it to flow like a movie. I didn't want to just, you know, I wanted to talk about it a different way than it's been talked about. So this record here is, this EP here is more personal. This EP here, you can get, you know, it's going to be more subject matters, more meat and potatoes and more, you know, different subject matter. This, I don't got no records about no work on this one right here. So, you know, it's going to be very different. It's going to kill the naysayers that saying that's all he talk about. That's all he can talk about. Nah, that just was that record. And that was just Snow Day. And the next time you hear me touch on that, it'll be in December. December when I released Still Snowing, you know what I'm saying, the part two to Snow Day. But this one right here, I felt like I was going to release Still Snowing right, you know, this time, like next week. And I said, nah, let me give them something totally different so that they'll know and understand that, nah, he multifaceted, that he could take this rap shit into any direction he feel like it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, especially with your background and knowledge of the being a part of the 5% Nation, you got to sometimes bring the mathematics into the equation.
That's right. Now that's mandatory. That's right. I just said that on the verse with I got a brand new being record, me, Lord Jamal, and Grand Pooba, and I just touched on that, and I was just telling like it's my duty to teach the youth. Not sometimes, but anytime I'm in the vocal booth, you know, Like, we got to implement the math, because the math is what got me by. Well, the math is what gave me the understanding that I have by, that I have right now and still live by to this day. So, yeah, the math is very important.
Absolutely. You know, and it's something that definitely, you know, one thing about great hip-hop in terms of classic music is that it always inspires, it teaches, and most importantly, it lasts way beyond the era of which it was recorded. That's what defines a classic, because it's timeless. When you look at, you know, how much you've accomplished so far, you know, God, pretty much have you ever thought about going on a major label, or for you being independent, this is something that pretty much you want to keep it as, where you have your vision, you know, your direction, and nobody defining it for you?
I mean, ultimately, I would like to go on a major at some point, only because I just know the reach that they have, and I know that the way that I speak, and I know that I know the amount of people that I could reach on a major would be on a much greater scale than what I'm reaching right now, and I really feel like that the people, I feel like that they understand and they gravitate, and they know, like, it's hard for somebody to teach. It's hard for somebody to tell you something when they feel like that you haven't been there before. So I feel like that the people know and understand that my story is authentic, so that they don't really second guess it, and it makes the pill easier for them to swallow. They know, oh, now he really did that, so we'll listen to him. You understand? So me just knowing that the reach that I have and the pull that I have, and the influence, the power of my influence, I think that I would like to be on a major, because I feel like I could save more of the babies that way.
Mm.
Now, when I get on a major, I done told all my drug telling stories that I'm gonna tell. When I get on a major, now it's my duty that once I get on that podium, now I gotta give them what I'm supposed to really give them.
Right.
But I know and understand that before I got there. So, you know, I did what I had to do to get there. And now that I got their ear, even now, you know what I'm saying, like I said, I felt like I could have put out Still Snow, and I could have put out Snow Day 2.0. But it was like, nah, let me give them something else, because I know that I got a bigger fan base than I did when I put out Still Snowing. So, you know, I got to, you know, it's my duty. I got to give them something a little bit stronger. I got to give them a little bit more substance.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, man, that's a valid point right there, because you take it in consideration that you want your base to grow with you. That's how when you your base grow with you, you can build a long-term longevity. Just like you got guys like Nas, he's still touring, and people are still, he's still selling out tours, and he's pushing 50, I think.
Yeah, he'll be right.
He's still selling out tours.
Right. Right.
So that's one of the main things, making sure your audience grow with you, because this is the problem with a lot of artists. Like, when you start putting out music that was considered like cliche or for that time period, they're not going to grow with you at all. They're going to grow out of it.
They're going to grow out of it. Yep. They're going to grow out of it, and somebody and they're going to grow past you.
it's like that meme we was reading when they said, you know, and this is no shade to Lil Durk or any of them, because they're dope artists, but they were like, it's just that they were not really able to move those seats in terms of getting people to come to the shows, and they've had to cancel a few. You know, like Kim said, Nas is selling the shit out everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was looking on eBay the other day. Nigga, do you know how much that Illmatic tape is going for from 1994, the original?
How much?
I've seen some of them go for like $1,000 brand new in the wrapper.
I still got my cassette. I still have my cassette in the safe. Ain't nobody getting that.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
yeah, you better
keep
that.
But when you're looking at, but I said that to say, when you're looking at the testament of artifacts of things that we got growing up that we just got because we enjoyed, and now they become collector's pieces. Like the original Cuban Links purple tape is going for like $400 or $500 online, and that's if you're lucky. I've seen some of the things go, I think somebody, I don't know how the fuck they plan to get it, but they're selling theirs for like $10,000. I'm like, no, you're not going to get it. Yeah, wrapped in brand new. I'm like, no, you're not going to get it for that much.
Right.
But it's showing the appreciation. When we look at the music in terms of distribution, everybody likes to go online. Some people have abandoned the physical copies. How do you as an artist feel about physical copies and selling and pressing up to get them out to the fans?
I feel like that having something tangible is always better than having it, just having it digitally. And I'm learning that, you know, the fans really appreciate it. Like when I put my EP out and I made those physical bricks and you had to cut the brick open and get the hard drive out of the middle of the bird, they thought that was the most genius thing ever. I went in 300, I went in the labels with JoJo Brim and them, and they called everybody in the office to look at that. And they was like, now this is marketing.
That's original right there. I'm mad
and
I missed out on that.
You didn't miss out on it, God. I just did, so I only did 100 of them, and I sold probably 80 of them and gave it like 20 away. And then the fans, like so many people wanted them, I just did another 100 bricks. And, you get the physical brick, and it's shrink wrapped. And a lot of people didn't even open the brick up. They don't even know what's in the brick. I could have sold them a dummy brick. You understand? But the brick has the hard drive in it, and it got the visuals on there, and it has the music. And that was just something that nobody ever did. So I'm big on the very, very big on having something tangible for the people to hold on to. Next trick. The next trick is going to be crazy. They thought that I couldn't top the brick, but this next one, oh man. My next package is for the next one. Oh,
okay.
Man.
So we got 5 minutes left. Tell everybody where we can find this merchandise, and we thank you so much for coming on with us. We got to do this again. We got to do it again.
Yeah, this is a
dope deal,
man.
No, I appreciate you. First and foremost, I just would like to thank both of y'all for having me. It's definitely been a pleasure, man. And you know, just I hope we can get the interview to as many people as possible. If you want to cop the merch, the physical CDs, the hoodies, the T-shirts, everything is at greatgod.com, G-R-E-A, the number 8, G-A-W-D, greatgod.com. And you can cop the physical copies, the brick, the CDs, you know, the T-shirts, the Great God hoodies, the God Brothers hoodies. All of that is on my site for purchase.
Okay, because I'm going to hit you. This damn one thing we love,
that's
IG, but this should always be fucking up in terms of it saying, like, how many you can follow, because that's saying I'm following way more than what I actually am.
Some people take it personal, too. I'd be like, man, that's IG, man. They only gave me a follower count. We can think we can follow how many we want.
You
can only follow a certain amount of people now?
Yeah, for 7,500.
Yeah.
You can only follow 7,500.
Okay.
But we're gonna.
I'm
gonna send you a DM or a comment. I'm gonna send a DM and comment on one of your comments so you know who I am in terms of T-Max NBA. God, we have enjoyed this. We have thoroughly enjoyed this.
Nah, I appreciate y'all, man.
You know, and look.
Definitely,
so
man.
So this is the mad scientist I got cooking up in my head. You and Ghostface, you got to bring Ghostface back to the mask, and you and him have to do a project together. The streets need it. We got to get y'all.
Okay.
Look. Mask Unbound. It's just something crazy original. Y'all got to come together and do it, man.
All right. Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah. You putting that out in the universe.
I'm going to make that happen, too. I just saw Ghost in Vegas. We was at the pool together. We chopped it up for a little bit. I'm definitely gonna get in his ear about that again.
Yeah. We the streets need that. We need the ghost, look, the great God and Ghost Dini, the deities of dope and all types of genius on the grammar, body slammers. Yes.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah, watch out for that.
Let's do it, man. We're gonna definitely keep in touch with you, man. We follow you on all the platforms, so we're gonna keep the wave moving.
No, I appreciate y'all, man, from the left side of my chest, man. Thank y'all, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. Peace.
All right. And on that note, we are out.